takes to bring us closer to Him. And if you're facing troubles and trials and situations, let it do just that. Let it bring you closer to Jesus. This is not what I'm going to preach on, but the song has me thinking about it. Herod brought great tribulation and trial to the church. Killed James. Had Peter in prison, waiting to after Easter, going to kill him. The church prayed without ceasing. Angels came, you know the story. Defied the forces of a maximum security prison. And the prison bars opened. Peter was released. And when the church learned how to pray a supernatural intervention out of heaven and into their life, suddenly there was no need for Herod anymore. So God allowed worms to eat him up. There are some things that will be dissolved in our life if we'll just go ahead and let them do their purpose. Let them go ahead and bring us to that altar. Let them go ahead and bring us to that place where we just crucify the flesh and trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And then suddenly certain trials will just dissolve and go away because they will have done their part. Why don't we give the Lord another hand clap of praise? Amen, amen. While you're standing, please, let us turn in our Bibles to Psalms 37. Appreciate the music, appreciate the song, appreciate Brother Tull helping us here. Psalms 37 and verse 4. When you're there, just say amen. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Very short verse tonight. Just a little bit of reading. Let's read that again. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, who is this verse addressing? When you read that, who is it that needs to take note? Who is it that's supposed to delight in the Lord? The Word of God says, delight thyself. So does everybody say, that's me? Point to yourself. Remind yourself. It's talking to me. That's me. Place your Bibles beside you. Remain standing and let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you so much for the Word of God. And we ask now that you would just preach to us. Teach us, O Lord. Open our minds. Give us comprehension. I pray now, Lord, that your word, your power, your spirit would prevail upon every person in this building. And Lord, that you would come in, illuminate us, and give us great understanding. Anoint me to preach it and teach it. And Lord, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you clap once again as you're seated under the Lord? You may be seated. Have you ever felt like you have been let down by someone? Have you ever felt like life has just let you down? Or have you ever found something to be other than it appeared to be? Have you ever lost interest in something that was once special? Have you ever failed to find satisfaction where you expected it? Have you ever found that no matter how much you had, somehow it seemed it wasn't enough? Have you ever had a sense of unfulfillment? Have you ever had a feeling of restlessness? Have you ever faced dissatisfaction? Well, if you've answered yes to any of these, well, congratulations. You are alive and well on planet Earth. Our title tonight suggests that we should delight thyself in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Now help me preach tonight and turn to your neighbor and just with an authority, kind and just say, delight thyself in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. We need to understand that everything in this world is playing for, it is reaching for, strategizing to commandeer our time that we would normally give to the Lord. And the Lord is trying to teach His people through this prophetic, if you will, a psalm, that the Word of God is saying, delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, right here, quarantine everything, put the world on hold, get your imaginations out of the picture, freeze the moment, and ingest the principle. If I delight myself in God, then there is a reciprocation. There is a supernatural reciprocation that's going to happen. Amen. Drive that nail in a sure place right now. And now hang on to that. That's a matter of fact. No wonder the devil wants to send 1,000 thoughts per second through your head. No wonder the devil wants to send every kind of distraction he can think about. No wonder the enemy of your soul is trying to give you some kind of long to-do list to get you to go anywhere and do anything but delight yourself in the Lord. When a people stops and pauses to delight themselves in the Lord, when they stop and pause to delight themselves constantly, adequately, appropriately, and properly in the Lord, when they do that, when they get a regimen of that in their life, then their spiritual behavior, their spiritual conduct, their spiritual lifestyle, their spiritual everything is going to become healthier and healthier and healthier. And the devil knows that. And he knows that he cannot deal with you. He cannot conquer you. He cannot defeat you. He cannot overcome you if you have a healthy conduct of delighting yourself in the Lord. Because it's in writing that when you delight yourself in the Lord, there is a supernatural reciprocation coming back that He cannot defeat. Go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, let's go ahead into some of the mechanics of this. Our title is simply, Delight Thyself in the Lord. And this is a matter of requiring a holy perspective toward the Lord. Our perspective means so much. Now, let us park 5 cars out there, and you're about 250 feet away from all 5 cars, and some big, bad, ugly, some kind of beast comes out of them woods over there, and that thing's after you. Are you going to run to the car you have the least amount of faith in? Are you going to run to the one that you don't know if the keys are in it? Are you going to run to the one that you don't know if it's going to crank, even if you had the keys? Are you going to run to the one that's going sitting on 4 flats? Which car are you going to run to? You're going to run to the car that you are totally sure and certain is going to fire up, and it's going to get you out of this situation and bring you somewhere that's much safer. Is that all right? Now, if we can figure that out in the flesh, then why can't we figure it out in the spirit realm? But you know how people are. We put our trust in everything else in the world. And we run by Jesus every day and leave Him as the last option. But if we will put Him first on the list, if we'll realize He's never out of gas, He's never sitting on 4 flats. He's never got a dead battery. He's always ready to perform a supernatural work for His church.
He is always ready. He is primed. His word says that he is setting on go for his people. We have it in writing. But we'll get up in the morning and we'll run past the altar and we'll chase everything else in the world and leave him somewhere dangling behind. But today, tonight, and hurriedly, I want to somehow get us to understand just a few minutes that is sincere. Not a religion and not a tradition and not an idea of I'm going to punch my clock for a minute. But a few minutes of dedication. A few minutes of pure, holy prayer, commitment, a sensitive sold out time of talking with God, reflecting on His goodness, reflecting on His mercy, truly delighting in the Lord can change every situation that follows in that day. It can change it all. Doesn't matter what the devil meant for harm, God can step up and turn it all around for the good of those that love the Lord. Can somebody clap unto the Lord tonight? So we're talking about a matter of requiring. Everybody say requiring. You don't just come with that. That's not something that's packaged in the deal. You've got to require an attitude that is holy. You've got to reach and get a hold of that. An undisciplined person will not have a holy perspective. A holy perspective is a perspective that is disciplined. It's disciplined. Unholy people will not have a disciplined perspective toward God. They'll have a sloppy perspective toward God. It won't be in order. It won't have no divine nature. It'll just be sloppy. It'll be out of order. It won't resemble anything that a holy person should have. So we've got to reach out and get a hold. We've got to require it. We've got to require it of ourselves. We've got to bring our own flesh, our own mind, our own person into subjection. And we've got to require it of ourselves to maintain a holy perspective toward the Lord. What's a holy perspective toward the Lord? My God is faithful. That's a holy perspective toward the Lord. My God knows where I am and He will never let me down. That's a holy perspective. You see, you've got to discipline yourself to hold to those moorings. Because when everything's coming apart and life is hitting you between the eyes, your back's against the wall, panic is coming, and you could just fall all to pieces. And you could just think about everything that's negative, everything that's wrong. You'll be undisciplined. You'll be focused on fear rather than faith. You'll be looking at defeat rather than victory. You'll feel alone rather than your help. The prophet, he just simply said, see, he was disciplined. He had a holy perspective. And when it all come against him, he just said, hey, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be my light. He wouldn't just let it all come unraveled. He kept order in here. Somebody say that. We got to keep order in here. We've got to keep the enemy's disorder out. And we've got to keep the order of the Lord in here. When we maintain the order of the Lord in here, then we're going to have the holy perspective in here. And you're going to say, it may look bad, it may feel bad, it may sound bad, but my God is still on the throne. Amen. Oh. When you delight yourself in the Lord, you are supernaturally energized. And that energizement of the Lord will cause you to have power to maintain order. And that order will always allow you to see it like God sees it, rather than to see it like the devil wants you to see it. And a church with a holy perspective must always see it like God sees it, instead of like the world sees it. If you have a vision that allows you to see things like the world, you're going to live like the world. But if you have a vision, a perspective that allows you to see things like the heavens see it, like God sees it, then you're going to live like God desires you to live. An unholy perspective, I can't spend much more time here, but an unholy perspective allowed all of Israel to see a giant. An unholy perspective allowed all of Israel to see a giant. And they allowed fear, that disorder, perspective of disorder, if you will, allowed them, an entire nation stood still because of one giant. But one man that had a holy perspective, he wasn't even a full-grown man yet. That one man that had a holy perspective, he just looks out there and says, I don't see no giant. All I see is an uncircumcised Philistine. All I see is a man coming against me with a sword and a shield. But I see myself coming against him in the name of the Lord. So a holy perspective is not going to get your attention off on a 9.5 foot tall man. He's not going to get your perspective in the places that's going to weaken you. A holy perspective is going to cause your mind and your heart and your prayer to go into that place where it's going to strengthen you. Delight yourself in the Lord so that you can have a holy perspective. And when you have a holy perspective, you don't focus on what's wrong, you focus on what's right. You don't focus on what's against you, you focus on who's for you. You don't focus on what's gone down and washed away in the past. You focus on what's coming down from heaven right now, and it's brand new manna. It's mercies. It's brand new power. It's authority in the name of Jesus. And so we got to have a holy perspective, and a holy perspective comes from delighting ourselves in the Lord. Now, for a moment, let us look at the word delight. D-E-L-I-G-H-T. Then we will look at the word thyself, and then we will look at the words or the short little phrase in the Lord. The first word, it requires an attitude. It is required. We have to develop in order to have delight in the Lord in our life. So the initial meaning of delight is soft, pliable, luxuriant, enjoyable, to derive great joy or pleasure from, or to be highly pleased. Delight thyself in the Lord means to luxuriate, if I could use it that way, in God, or to indulge yourself in the Lord. Now, let us take a look at the word thyself. This 12th century pronoun points its finger at our own self and says, an action involving our own person is now required. An action that is involving you, each one of us individually, not collectively. But it is involving each one of us individually. An action that is involving each person individually is now required. In other words, nobody's around you. You're by yourself. And you're going to have to take a stand for Jesus. It's nobody else to bring strength from, draw strength from. You're going to have to stand on your own. When the word thyself appears here in our text, it means that some decision of the will is now necessary. This is something one must choose to do and hold themselves to the proper disciplines required in order to accomplish the task. Now let us look at in the Lord. In our text, we must understand that the Lord becomes the object of our delight. In our text, we must understand the focal point and the whole purpose of the verse is knowing and realizing that the Lord must become the object of our delight. We must make a conscious decision that we are going to take great delight in a luxuriant opportunity that the world doesn't have, that the devil doesn't have, that hell doesn't have. But we're going to have to go ahead and take a stand because we've been given an opportunity as one God, Jesus' name, tongue-talking, apostolic, holy-rolling individuals, born-again people. We have been given a luxurious opportunity to delight ourselves in the Lord. We get to make the Lord the object of our delight. I did not say we have to make. I said we get to. We get to worship the Lord in the morning. We get to love Him in the noonday. We get to pray and touch Him in the eventide. We get the opportunity to wake up in the middle of the night and lift our hands and touch the hem of that garment, and the mighty God responds. That is a privilege. That is a privilege of those who delight themselves in the Lord. He is not far from us. He has not distanced Himself away from us. But because we are the children of God, because we are born again of the water and of the Spirit, because we have His blood and His name applied to our life, we have a luxurious opportunity. It is a high and lifted up, a elevated position. See, the world wants to beat you down all day long, young people. And the world wants to make you think you're beneath them. But the world is messed up. And the world is believing lies that's going to cause them to lose their soul. Hell will come to people and convince them that bad is good and good is bad. Will come to you and try to convince you that a promiscuous lifestyle is cool and the thing to do. And hell will try to come to you when you're living holy and undefiled and separated from the world and try to tell you that you're beneath everybody and you're a nobody and a nothing. But let me remind you that hell cannot tell the truth. The devil is a liar and the father of it. That's what Jesus said. And you're the one that's going to have to hold on to the Word of God. And you're the one that's going to have to take a stand in the truth and say, no, the devil, you can say what you want to say. But I know that when I wake up in the morning, that my soul is all right with the Lord. When I lay my head down at night, everything's okay with the Lord. The world can't say that. The devil will take things and turn it upside down and make up look down, and down seem to be up. But we must believe the report of the Lord. And the only way to believe the report of the Lord is to delight ourselves in the Spirit of God and to be plugged in and tuned in to the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. Now, if we're jumping out of bed, running past prayer time, running past devotion, running past commitment to God, running after everything, we're not going to be delighting ourselves in the Lord, and the reciprocation of power and of the Holy Ghost is not going to be coming back to us. So we're not going to have the power to stand. We won't have the courage to stand. We won't have a holy perspective to see how things really is. Now, in the Lord, in our text, we must understand that the Lord is our object of affection. We must make a conscious decision that we are going to take great delight in a luxuriant opportunity that we as born-again Christians have been given. We get to make the Lord the object of our delight. We get to delight in His presence. In Psalm 16 and 11, Thou wilt give me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We, the church, everybody say us, the church. We get to do this. We get to go into the presence of the Lord. The world can't do that. But the church, everybody help me now, the church. Now, so that's me. The church. That's me. I have to drive that real deep because tomorrow some of you is going to forget. We have to understand that we, the born-again people of God, we are the church. In Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the paths of life. So, in the morning or tonight when you lay down, whenever it is, but get a constant time and you go, okay, I've got situations, I've got issues, I've got worries. But Lord, my Bible says that when I delight myself in the Lord, when I'm focused upon You, reciprocations are going to come back. Lord, Thou wilt show me the path of life. You're not going to put me on a road to destruction. You're not going to put me on a road to a collision. But You're going to set my feet on a path of righteousness. Oh, could somebody bless the name of the Lord right now? Come on. The devil's trying to lie to you. The devil's trying to tell you all kind of junk. But you need to go ahead and say, you know what? My holy perspective has already told me that my God is going to put me on a path to life. It don't matter how many potholes. It don't matter how many twists and turns. It don't matter how many worries and struggles. My God has got me on a road to life. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Now, I wish you'd just get your finger out right there. Just go ahead. All your worries, all your fears, just kind of point out there somewhere where they are. You've already told all your worries and your fears that God has got you on a road, on a path to life. Now, you ought to go ahead now. If somebody lashes at you, it's because they don't understand. And you just go ahead and say to all your troubles that in His presence is fullness of joy. Are you getting what I'm saying? So right here on a Wednesday night, in the middle of the week, with troubles all around, I'm going to put it on pause, and I'm going to say, you know what? The road I'm on is a road of life. I'm in the presence of the Almighty God, and I can be happy. I can out on a Wednesday. I can run the aisle on a Wednesday. I can smile on a Monday. I can rejoice. Oh, somebody help me. But you're not going to get to do this unless you delight yourself in the Lord and you get a hold of the reciprocation that's coming back and you say, ah, devil, that's not yours. That's my power to dance. That's my power to trust in God. That's my power to stand holy. That's my power to serve God. We get to delight in His power. Acts chapter, we get to delight in His presence. Now we get to delight in His power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but ye shall receive power after what? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I don't have time to cover all this. I've got to be wrapping it up soon. But you've got to understand that once you've got the Holy Ghost, once you've been buried in water in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, and you come out of that water and God has spoke through you and you spoke in tongues, you have under the influence of the Holy Ghost, you have spoke as God gave the utterance. Now, tongues is not the Holy Ghost. Tongues is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. You've got that Holy Ghost in you. You've got that anointing in you. And you're going to have to stand up right now and say, you know what? I have got to stand in faith. My holy perspective says it doesn't matter really how I feel and how it looks and how it seems. But I know that I know that I know that I know I was buried in the water in the name of Jesus. And I've been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. My God is with me, and there is power in my life. Power to live holy. Power to believe in Him. Power to stand and wait upon the Lord. Power to endure every trial. Could you clap a little more unto the Lord? We get to delight in His presence. We get to delight in His power. We get to delight in His promises. In 2 Peter 1 and 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers. Everybody say this with me. Partakers of the divine nature. The devil wants you to leave God's precious promises on the table. He wants you to doubt. He wants you to have unbelief. He wants you to leave God's precious promises alone. Because when you get a hold of the precious promises of God, it's going to change your nature into the divine nature of God. And when you get the divine nature of God working in your life, the devil will not have a chance. Because your divine nature is just going to instinctively lead you to victory every time. Amen. The wisdom of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter coming in you, will just begin to teach you, no, don't touch that, don't do that, don't say that, don't go there, don't hang out with them. This is the path, live that way. Yes, you can do this, you can do that, you can do this. And the divine nature of the Holy Ghost will lead you through the landmines of life and bring you completely on the paths of righteousness every day. Everybody say every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. And so, whereby in 2 Peter 1 and 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, we've got to get a hold of these promises. Most people don't believe in the promises of God, even though they say they're Christians. They really don't believe in them because I've watched how they respond to them. If you believed in them, you'd be reaching and getting them, and you'd be standing on them. But whereby are we are given unto us great and precious promises that by these, everybody say by these. Now, reach out. I want you to remember this. Reach out and now get a handful of great and precious promises. Put them right there in this hand. Now reach out there and get some more. And now you got two hands full of great and precious promises. Now I want you to look at them. I want you to dream about this right here. Now By these, everybody say, by these. By these I might be partaker of the divine nature. I don't have time to go into explaining all that, but if you'll hold on to the divine promise, and the supernatural promises and the precious promises of God, if you'll hold on to them and say, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I'm not wandering over here. I'm not wandering over here. I'm not getting off the promises of God. They are precious promises, and I'm going to live by them. I'm going to stand on them. And by that, my nature's going to be changed. I'm going to quit looking at what's wrong. I'm going to quit thinking that God's against me. I'm going to quit thinking that everything's plotting against me. And I'm going to believe and I'm going to know that my God is on my side. He's on my side in the morning. He's on my side in the noonday. He's on my side in the evening time. Because God has given me great and promises. And by these promises, I'm going to have a divine nature. How can you have a divine nature? By throwing away the promises. Everybody say, let's quit doing that. Let's quit doing that. Let's bring them promises in. And let's stand on the Word of God. And let's be holy and godly people. Delight yourself in His promise, His precious promises, so you can be a partaker of His divine nature. This all comes by disciplining ourselves to invest in the appropriate time spent with the Lord, sending and receiving. Sending and receiving. Praying and reading. Praying and studying. We get to delight in His faith. Hebrews 11 and 33. Who through faith subdued. Everybody say subdued. I'm going to have to quit pretty quick. But who through faith subdued kingdoms. Everybody say it with me. Wrought righteousness. Obtained promises. Stopped the mouths of lions. Now, the devil doesn't want you to know any of this stuff. But on a Wednesday night, we have slowed down to get the nuts and bolts back into our life that's going to hold our walk with God together. Now, Hebrews 11:33. Who through faith. So you got to reach up and get your faith now. If we're ever going to get to that stop in the lion's mouth, we're going to have to do it through faith. Okay? So we got to reach up and get a hold of faith. And through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. What does them promises do? Give you a divine nature, right? Once you, through faith, subdue the kingdoms of the flesh, the kingdoms of the lust of the eye, the kingdoms of the lust of the flesh, the kingdoms of the pride of life, the kingdoms of generational curses and devices of darkness, born in sin and shape in iniquity, the kingdoms of all this junk that comes against us. Once we get the faith to subdue these kingdoms and we begin to work righteousness in our life, then we begin to reach up and obtain the promises of God, which gives us a divine nature. And once we get all that under our belt, we begin to step out and we begin to stop the mouths of lions. You remember David? A bear came, he stopped that. A lion came, he stopped that. Next thing you know, he's standing out there in front of Goliath, and he stopped that. When we become men and women who delight ourselves in the Lord, and we let that reciprocation happen, we're going to have the faith, we're going to have the power, we're going to have His presence, we're going to have His anointing, and we're going to have His victory in our life. How do we actually delight ourselves in the Lord? Through studying His Word. Studying His Word is studying Him. You can't study this Word without studying God. We must study Him. 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. If we do not study, we'll never delight ourselves in the Lord. And so we've got to study to delight ourselves in God.
When we delight ourselves in God, then heaven responds and the miracle signs and wonders come back to our life. We take on the divine nature of God. We begin to be converted from worldliness to godliness. We take on His righteousness at that point. Then we're growing to the point that we begin to pick up His promises and a divine nature. We quit talking like the world. We love our brothers and sisters. We do not create division. We create unity. We create oneness. We build people in love. We disciple. When we are mature people in God, we will begin to take on His nature and conduct ourselves as Christ conducted Himself. Are we okay? And when we get that reciprocation happening and that divine nature happening, suddenly the supernatural events are going to take place with much more ease than they currently take place. It's going to be more of a natural thing to walk in the supernatural realm. It's going to be more of a natural thing to believe God will heal. It will be more of a natural thing to believe that God is going to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. It's a more natural thing to believe that somebody's going to hear what I have to say and they're going to be saved. It's going to just become a more natural response to believe what God wants rather than what the world is wanting. Because the divine nature has taken control. Study to show thyself approved unto who? God. If we don't study this word, we will never be approved unto God. A workman that needeth not shame dividing the word of truth. When we are rightly dividing this Bible and we are got every scripture in context, we're rightly dividing it, we will stand before Him on judgment day and we will not be ashamed. We will not be turned away, but we will be accepted. And He'll say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Delight thyself in the Lord. How do we actually delight ourselves in the Lord? Hurrying through sensing Him and His presence, through seeking His face, through submission to His ways, through surrendering to His will. James 4 and 7, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. When we surrender to God, we have surrendered to His word. Great delight comes to us when we surrender to His word, because the devil will have to flee and we are left alone in an intimacy with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Notice that first, that it is a required attitude. Then it becomes a relational aspect. Note the order of the verse. Delight thyself in the Lord. As a result, the Lord shall give thee. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, the reciprocation comes and He gives us desires of our heart. Now pay close attention where the gift comes from and what the gift is a result of. The gift comes from the Lord. The gift comes from the Lord only, everybody say only, when we are able to discipline ourselves to the point that we can actually find true delight in God. You ever watched a kid love up to daddy and mama? And the daddy and mama say, I know it's not because they love me that much. They just want something. If you can discern that about your own child, God will discern that about us. He wants us to love up to Him when there's nothing in the deal other than just being with Him. When we get to that place in God, then the reciprocation is going to just flow. Because He knows that we have ethics in place, spiritual ethics in place, that He can trust us with the kingdom of God. Is this okay? Now, the gift comes from the Lord. The gift comes from the Lord only when we are able to discipline ourselves to the point that we can actually find delight in the Lord. The gift is a result of the delighting, truly delighting, not faking it, but truly delighting. We are not to delight just for the gifts. We must mature in the Lord to delight in Him regardless of any gift. Receiving the desires of one's heart
is very dangerous without true, genuine delight in our heart. Notice that we are dealing with the recorded, with a recorded assurance. It is written. Everybody say it is written. It is written in the word of the Lord that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, then, everybody say then, Jesus shall give us the desires of our heart. It's clearly written. It's in writing. And instead of panicking and running every direction when the enemy's doing all kind of stuff in your life, you just reach and get this word. And you say it's written. Bring yourself to a disciplined attitude. Don't panic. Don't be frightened. Don't run everywhere. Don't backslide. Don't bail out the boat. You just get yourself to a disciplined attitude. And you begin to call the shots in the Holy Ghost under the subjection of the Lord. And say, I'm a child of the King. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, is my dad. That's my father. That's my creator. He loves me. And I don't have to back up. I don't have to go backslide. I don't have to bow out. All I got to do is trust in Jesus. And everything's going to be all right. All I got to do is keep delighting myself in the Lord. And He's going to keep bringing the blessings. He's going to heal my body. He's going to save my soul. He's going to put me on a road of life. He's going to keep me in His presence. And when I'm in His presence, there's fullness of joy. Let's all stand tonight. Heavenly Father, we love You. And as we stand all over this building, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands and say, Lord, here I am. I've been nervous. I've been afraid. I've been sick. I've been down and I've been out. But Lord, I need this new discipline. I need this discipline to come into my life. The altars are open. If you want to step out, you're welcome to come around to these altars right now and say, God, I need this discipline. You, a saint, sinner, member, visitor, whoever you are, why don't you step out and say, God, I need this discipline. Instead of just failing You and just thinking everything's gone wrong, I need this discipline to just look around and say, my God is with me. My God is a lover of my soul. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. I'm going to delight myself in the Lord in the middle of a trial, in the middle of darkness, in the middle of a struggle. I'm going to meditate upon the Lord. In the middle of a dark night, I'm going to think about Jesus. In the middle of the hour, I'm going to love my Lord. And He's going to reciprocate, and He's going to bring what I need into my heart. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you feel like sin stopping it, repent of sin. Repent. Get right with God. And here it comes. His love will flow. His love, His adoration will flow. His healing will come. His holiness will minister to you. He'll give you the joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
From the cup in your hand. Lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heart beat. This love is so deep. It's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming.
Oh, mighty God, mighty God. Come on, church, renew your faith. Renew your love. Renew your delightment. Oh, yes. Get a hold of those disciplines it's going to take to give God that time He needs with you. Don't run past that moment, that hour, that time frame. Don't run past it. But you got to stop and delight yourself in the Lord. And let that supernatural anointing come back in your life. The joy of the Lord will give you strength. perspective will let you stand up and say, some men trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but I am going to trust in the name of the Lord. To stop and do that. If you care anything about the outcome of all the things you do, if they're important, well, they're important enough for you to get up a little bit earlier. Open this and put it in front of you. Get a hold of God. Pray. Delight yourself in the Lord. Speak in tongues every day. Speak in tongues every day. Read this word. Read it in the morning. Read it in the evening. You can fit it in at lunch. Fit it in at lunch. And delight yourself in this. And this will give you a holy attitude to be overcoming, victorious in the things you face through the day. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these great people. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. And I thank you for the opportunity to pastor these people. Lord, I ask now that you keep your hands upon them. Lord, I pray now as we enter this Thanksgiving season that we would be thankful people. We would reflect upon the goodness and the mercy of the Lord and be thankful for what you have done and how you have given us great things and been so good to us. Lord, I pray you keep your hand up on us. And as we go through the week, let us be a witness, a good witness, an overcoming witness to people. Bring them in to this place on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Shake hands and be friendly.